Macklemore, MC, capital LEMORE, Greenville, Mississippi, April 2nd, 1974. Black lawyer, graduate, University of Mississippi Law School, and Republican.
Let me give you some old news.
Sure.
I am a member of the Mississippi Republican Party. As a matter of fact, I am on the Central Committee of the Mississippi Republican Party. I'm vice chairman of the Washington County Deputy Legal Counsel to the State Republican Party. Now, all that says this, why am I a member of the Republican Party? I believe there's a definite need in the South, and Mississippi in particular, for a strong two-party system. I believe that in order to bring about this two-party system, that it is necessary, and for whatever temporary abuses that one must go through in order to bring about these changes, he should be willing and able to accept it and take it as a part of bringing about constructive social, political, and economic changes in the state. Having been born here in Mississippi and started off as most blacks, working in the field, hoeing cotton, picking cotton, and working on the hay fields on the Mississippi River, I know what happens to you with a one-party system, in my view. A one-party system is a system of party and based on non-competition. You are a minority in a second. There's only one political party. It does not give the people a choice. And when people have a choice, it appears to bring out competition. And that competition, when we get a strong two-party, Democrat and Republican party here fighting for survival and fighting for votes, I think it's going to help the minorities in particular. But what helps minorities, in my view, are also good for the country as a whole. But our state and most of the Old South has been brought up on a strong one-party system that's been dominated, and the Congress, the position in Congress has been dominated by our senators and representatives. And usually this has been a coalition, it's been a system of oppression, and I believe that regardless of some of these philosophies of some Republicans, I believe that in the long term, that by helping to create a strong two-party system, it will help help blacks. And I think it's going to help the state as a whole through competition.
Do you have very many blacks feel this way?
Quite a few blacks, in my view, feel this way. But not many blacks are willing to. Not put myself as a martyr, because just living in Mississippi has been a strain, but not many blacks, I think, are willing to may say, become identified with a political party in this day and time that on a national level appears to be promoting certain kinds of legislation to attempt to stifle, take back some of the rights that blacks have earned during the 60s. And many blacks see the Nixon administration and that kind of administration. And to a certain degree, they might be right. But what I'm more concerned about, more so, I'm concerned about what's happening on the national level. But I'm also equally as concerned or more concerned about what's going to happen on the local level, about the people that go into our state houses. I'm concerned about the people coming out of mayors and our governors. Now, let's look at it historically in our state in the last few years. One of the most liberal persons to run in terms of liberal, not in liberal terms in terms of give out, but in terms of liberal terms in terms of wanting to bring together all the people, in my view, was a Republican candidate for governor. And I'm having a problem with his name right now. He's from Corinth, Mississippi.
Phillips.
Yeah, okay, we're at the same time. Reuben Phillips, I thought, had a campaign, know, whether he believed it or not, you know, I really don't know because I couldn't look into his heart. But he had a campaign based upon very much like similar to what George Wallace ran on his first campaign, the time he lost. very pluralistic kind of campaign, I think. Populist, I mean, type of campaign. You look at the Republican candidate that ran against Senator Eastland, Gil Carmichael from Meridian. He ran the campaign, I thought, in a very dignified manner, and he stressed the need for all the people to participate in government. I never will forget one of his campaign speeches. He said, and we were talking about the difference of black and white in Mississippi, and he said that, black people want the same thing white people want in terms of a better way of life. You know, they also would like to have a boat to go fishing in on Saturdays. You know, something to this effect. And I think that's the kind of campaign, though, and the kind of people that we ought to be working for.
What about the strategy that some blacks believe that the way to lift the oppressiveness on blacks is to have a third party? That was to run them as independent of the two major political parties for local and statewide office. And once you build that solidarity, then get back into the Democratic and Republican Party.
I think, again, that this could be one of the ways of building that structure, one of the ways, a third party movement, perhaps. But I think, again, that the fallacy is that let's build a strong third party and get back into one of the parties. That's been our mistake over the years. I think that the important thing is that we still going to have to become, shift to both parties. And I think it's going to be to a certain degree, I might go along with their theory to a certain degree that each party should not be able to depend on us when they had a wrong type candidate. In other words, I think there should be flexibility in what we're doing. You know, let's shift to Democrats, let's shift to Republicans. If you're going to be a strong party like you just mentioned, let's be able to shift from both sides according to the candidates. Well, let's, you know, if you want to use that strategy. In addition to that, though.
But you say stay within the two parties?
No. What you said independent strategy. And I said independent strategy could be another way of doing what I'm concerned about doing. That's bringing about competition. But you said, you just stated that someone mentioned to you about building a strong independent party. Then at some time in the future, once a party is strong, make a decision to go to one of the parties.
Build a strong voting block.
Block.
Not necessarily an independent party.
Okay, build a strong block. Fine. But, and after building that block, from your question, it appears that they were going to make a decision as to which party they're going to go to, and I said this again can be wrong, because I think that if you're going to build that strong independent bloc, if you're going to use that approach, the independent bloc should be so flexible that it would shift to either political party according to the candidates and according to the races. But in addition to that, I think if equally as important that we have some kind of minority, strong minority representation within both political parties to try to effectuate policies on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month level as they relate to the minorities and, of course, as the state as a whole. I believe that due to just the mere fact that I am in the Republican Party and the mere fact that I've been on in some of the decision-making processes that I've been able to moderate or change certain views. And I believe that this is just one of the ways that we can. I don't believe that we're going to be able to change the parties or change our way of life as quickly by working purely outside. I believe that if you're going to use it, I think it should be a twofold method. But I think we should definitely have strong participation within party structure.
Do you see yourself as a potential candidate sometime in the future as a Republican?
That's a good question, because I really don't know. When I finished law school, of course, when I was in school, I ran.
You went to Ole Miss, right?
I went to Ole Miss, right. And when I was in school, and undergrad, the rest of them, of course, I ran for political office all the time at school, of course. I'm, fortunately, you know, I was blessed by, you know, and I was pretty successful. When I finished law school, I was concerned about that time as to whether I should run for political office or not. And now I don't know. You know, I have, you know, certainly there's pros and cons on both sides. But I do know this, I will not run for political office in the next few years. I have no intention of doing so right now. I believe that I can maybe be a greater service by attempting to get other people interested, other young people interested in running, and interested in get blacks interested in running as opposed as well as Democrats. But the main
is that thing, working? Are you getting any blacks?
We are, but to be honest with you, of course, the national situation not helping us too much. Watergate didn't exactly help us, you know, in terms of what we're attempting to do. But I still believe that it's just as essential now, or even more essential, since Watergate than it was before, you know. And someone asked me before, you know, how can you, you know, really get in the law of the Republican Party during the time of a Watergate situation? But I think this is one of the most important times to become Republican. I think it's time right now when a party is in a state of crisis that you might be helpful in some way to bring a order out of disorder. And you might in some way be able to bring about some positive changes in this new order that would benefit black people. At least I think it's worth an effort. You know, you can make a decision, I think. I had to make a very tough decision. My brother and I discussed this at length many times. Both of us in undergrad in political science, we discussed these things, and we think very similar to a certain degree. We both agreed that there should be blacks in the Republican Party, but we couldn't agree who should be there. You know, and of course, he said, well, you know, you shouldn't be. And really, at the time, I agreed with him. And, you know, might even agree with him now. But I agree that something should be done. So I attempted to elicit the, well, it's your book, I'm going to get shot. Some of my friends. Because my friend would agree to go left, I went. So here I am.
How did you get in the Republican Party? My real question is, did they solicit you or you solicited them?
Well, you might well say that it started in law school. Turned out to be one of my good conservative friends. You know, we used to argue all the time. Was a Republican, he was a young Republican. Of course, at that time, I was a young Democrat. And of course, he's a member of the Republican Party now. And is still a friend of mine. But of course, we don't see each other as often. Very seldom do we see each other. But in law school, we talked a lot because we argued half time. As a matter of fact, I remember we was sitting outside law school the night of the key barber. Not the key barber, but the last senatorial election, Brock and
Gore.
And Gore. Yeah. Of course, you know, I was pulling with Gore, and he was pulling with Brock. You know, the Republican Court at the time, I still had pure Democratic leanings. You know, we just arguing half night about who was the best candidate, of course. And, he knew some of the members of the people of the Republican Party. When I was out of law school, I had a little draft McElmore for mayor campaign going on in Greenville. And so I guess you might say the Republican Party contacted me in that respect. Some people ask me, you know, if I want to run, why not run for city council when I run as a Republican? You know, I guess due to other, one of the reasons they had a Republican candidate in the race, and they figured probably I'm going to take more votes, I guess, from a Republican candidate than Democrat candidate. But be as it may, they contacted me and asked me to run, you know, as a Republican.
This was when?
Did you?
No.
How long ago was this?
2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, so.
71?
You mean 71. Since 71 you've become vice chairman of the county party and the deputy council of the state party and on the state executive committee?
Well, I guess it helps a lot when you're not going to appear. You know,
how many are there?
You know, I'm not sure of the total number of people in the state of Republican. There's a black group, you know, in the state that meets there so often. And I guess in that, I said, must be a fifth in that group that, you know, very seldom you get the total 50. But
in the county and state leadership positions, how many blacks are there?
I'm not sure of the total number. I know two blacks represented with the Republican Party at the convention. No, wrong. Three or four blacks.
Of the National Convention?
Right, National Convention. I believe two delegates, I believe, and two alternates, or vice versa, some kind of way like that. I'm not sure the exact number. But I was not one of those chosen to go to the convention. So, there are other people, you know, other people in the state, other blacks in the state, who see this as some kind of an alternative method.
But is it fair to say that generally in the black community that the Republican Party is perceived as a white man's party in Mississippi?
No doubt about it. Hell, I would think that they, yeah, right. There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, in a meeting with a Republican chairman in Chicago 2 months ago at the Hyatt Regency, I told them in that meeting that at the time a question came up about the Alabama Republican Party said they were having a hard time recruiting blacks. And I told them that one of the reasons that you're going to have a hard time recruiting blacks is because black people in the South and in Mississippi and other places see conservatism as being espoused by the so-called Republicans as being nothing but a code word for racism.
Is it?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's according to who you're talking to. I think it's according to who you're talking with. Some people, some white people, and some black people might perceive it as that, according to their own interests, according to their community, according to the thinking of their community. But I don't perceive it as that. Personally, I can see conservatism in a sense, because a person is conservative doesn't necessarily mean he's a racist. I've discovered that there's about as many liberal races as there are conservative races. You know, it's called, you know, because in final analysis, both want to control you. You know, whether you're liberal or whether you're conservative, you know, both want to control the black vote, the black mind, for whatever reason they have. Whether the reason is for them to be do-gooders or whether the reason is for them to do it purely for power and money, whatever, in the final analysis in most cases. So I don't like to look at liberalism or conservatism as being a racist philosophy, because I think that race is in both. You know, when you look at it from that viewpoint. I do believe that more blacks conceive of conservatives as being racist than would liberals being racist, and if you want to look at that on that basis. And of course, in the way that they come off in news media and come off in other places, it's quite understandable why, in many cases. You know, because many times you say, well, I'm going to cut the welfare rule. You know, you usually find that this is kind of one of the conservative things. When you look much deeper in some of the programs, it also means that they have come up with alternatives, perhaps after making these decisions. But people do not look at what the alternatives are. You look at the first thing that's said. Then many people, in this state in particular, who left the Democrat Party, came to the Republican Party, in a sense, I think for racial reasons. Because at the time when they came over from Democratic Party to Republican Party, Republican Party was, in all respect, a little white party. You know, you had the black and tan Republicans, but you know, the white Republican more or less took it over from the black and tan. And so the black and tan Republicans, we know, were more or less left out.
Are any of those left?
Yeah, you still have some. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine, James Edwards in Evans Funeral Home, he's a black and tan Republican. As a matter of fact, he's vice chairman of the state NAACP, next to Aaron up in Clarksdale. And he has his funeral home here, and he's a Republican, you know, black and tan Republican, and of course he's now a member of the executive committee of the Washington County Republican Party, you have to make some decision though, you know, but you know, if you make a decision, you know, even if it is, and that's on another premise. So even if the party is as conservative as we see it, based on racism, you have to make some decision, I think. Again, how can you best change that party? You may not be able to change completely, but how do you best attempt to make impact? Do you make it outside the party? Do you attempt to get within there and bring about some change? I happen to be one who believe that while both methods might be effective, I happen to believe that now is the time for more and more interdepartmental, or man says time to try to make some changes more within the structure. I feel the same way about General Motors and the rest of the big corporate structure. while I think is important, as our law firm suit company, we just sued Marathon Lapine around the district. We just sell it out of $125,000 for the nation. Of course, from that particular side, we decided to do it a little bit on our side, you know, try to bring about a company change in company policies. We sued 5 or 6 other companies on Title VII discrimination things. But I believe that, too, is also important to attempt to change the profession, because it helps to get insight, to learn the workings and how organizations work, I think, to try to help change it for the better. And I believe, again, this is one of the things I think is important for the party is concerned, and to get within the party, and even if you're a white candidate, just try to make that white candidate understand some of the various issues in the community, as opposed to coming out without the benefit of any kind of counseling from a minority. So in the final analysis, I believe, regardless of the philosophy of the party, is if you can get in there and can bring about some positive changes, I believe you should make an effort. Even if you leave in frustration a few years later, but I think you should try. I believe you owe it to people, I think I owe it to myself, you know, to try. Because it's something that I think should be done.
Do you think most blacks understand what you're trying to do?
No, not at this time.
So what's their attitude toward you?
Well, most black, first of all, they see me as a black Republican, and that I'm probably, you know, I'm older than white folks in many respects, you know, and that probably over there for purely monetary gains, I would think, for some other reason. It's probably hard for them to perceive why we do it. Other than the fact that I've tried to explain in the paper a couple of times as to what my position is, and I've stated my position in the paper very much like I've stated here, that I think there's a definite need in our country for a strong two-party system in our state, and I believe this is one of the ways to bring it about, and that we need to have both Republican and Democrat party out there fighting for the black vote, and I've stated that openly in the newspaper a number of times. As a matter of fact, the Republican Party are attempting to get my partner in my law firm to run against David Bowen in the second district. Well, you know, big write-up on that, you know, that clear war, you know, to run for office. And I think the party would be willing to support a number of black candidates. It's just a matter of understanding the party.
Let me ask you this. You said they tried to get Ward to run against David Bowen,
right,
as a Republican.
Right.
But the Republicans will, you know, here's a question of trying to get a black Republican candidate to run against somebody who's perceived at least as a moderate liberal Democrat. But the Republicans don't even challenge conservative Democratic congressmen.
I think that's a good analogy, to a certain degree.
But what's your reaction to that? You know, would they get him to run against Jamie Whitten or Sonny Montgomery?
Of course, no, Montgomery's a Democrat, but he might change it. I doubt it. I don't know. But, of course, I think they would, as a matter of fact, as a Democrat, as a Democratic candidate. I think I don't believe the party would have that much of concern in the final analysis if they thought that the person they were running in some ways was moderate in his views. You had to ask them,
I guess my real question is, do you feel they're more anxious to beat Bowen because he's a moderate liberal or because he's a Democrat?
Well, you got two or three concerns here. Number one, the chairman of the Republican Party lives in Bowen District. And I'm quite sure he would like to see a Republican in this district. That's number one. Of course, and number two is that the fact that he is a Democrat, and the Republican Party has been successful in two other congressional races, it would stand to reason that they would like to see him go. It's probably just make them a little more eager to get him due to the fact that perhaps he is a moderate to liberal in thinking.
But am I correct? This is the sort of competition you'd like to see, is moderate candidates on both sides competing for black votes. Is that?
Oh, I would. I would. I have no. I think it's. You say you got the best of both sides, almost to the point of to the position you get to there, is that whichever candidate wins, it won't hurt you too bad when you come down to that. You know, I'm not. You know, against seeing moderate candidates fight it out. You know, I would much rather. You know, of course, you know, you have it's a lot more competitive to you when you have an extreme moderate fighting extremist. You know, a full position. You know, a lot more competitive in the sense that you bring your adrenaline a little more because, you know, you've really got no more at stake, you think. But I see nothing wrong with moderate candidates running. But, you know, my personal view about Bowens is that Bowens is a good representative. You know, and that's my personal view. Yeah. And so, you know, I have no
What do you think would be the effect if the Republican Party in Mississippi in 1975 runs a slate of statewide candidates for statewide office and includes one or two blacks on that slate?
That's a good question. I've thought about that. Sometimes you might even want to ask yourself, if a black is to get in public office on a statewide slate, can he best win as a Democrat on a Republican ticket? When I say that, I say this, is that due to the fact that the Republican Party itself as a whole, I would think, well, I can't say the Republican Party as a whole on the state level is more conservative than the Democrat Party, really. I think they're pretty much even. If anything, I think some of the candidates run by the Republican organization have been more liberal, you know. I would think would have a chance.
Do you think the Republicans, if there were a black Republican candidate for a statewide office, I'm not talking about governor, but I'm talking about a lesser office than governor, but still a statewide office, maybe treasurer, of that level office.
I would think that he would have a chance.
You think that Republican Party would give him full support as a candidate?
I think Republican Party would give him full support. You might have one or two candidates might even back down. But I really believe the Republican Party would support it. I really do. In this day and time, I think they would do it. I really do. You know. And again, this is what we're talking about. And if he is moderate in his thinking, in terms of, because when I said moderate thinking, you know, it can go many different ways. You know, because we say you're talking about moderation and thinking. You know, to another person, a moderate person could be an outright radical. You know, either side, you know, right or left. But when I'm saying by that, I'm saying probably a person, in my view, who tries to use the philosophy, stressing the philosophy of doing whatever is possible to bring about a racial harmony and for all the people of the state of Mississippi, and use that kind of philosophy. That's what I call moderation. That's the kind of philosophy that I personally use quite a bit, you know. That in order to bring about change in our state, it will have to be a unified effort, you know, and you have to stress the need for blacks and whites working together. You know, I doubt very seriously if I were running for office, whether I would run on purely one strictly so-called black slate of black support right now. I believe every effort should be made to integrate your campaign organization staff and get as many people who normally wouldn't be involved as you possibly can from the other community. You know, and I think that's one of the secrets of success of the Maynard Jackson campaign. Maynard Jackson ran against Tammy some years ago. I worked for him, not full time. I was working for the Southern Region Council at that time, so it really wasn't supposed to be in a campaign. But I worked for him, and I thought he did a good job of trying to put together a nucleus of blacks and whites working together in his campaign. And he seemed to have kept that nucleus, a line of thinking, all the way through. And I believe that's one of the reasons why he's become mayor of Atlanta. Because, you know, again, he demonstrated that he could work with the power structure with the business people on both sides and still work and try to bring about equal opportunity advances for minorities, without necessarily trying to crush the majority. I think that's also important. You know, I think there has to be fair play on both sides.
What do you think was the political effect upon black politics of the Evers campaign in 1971?
I believe the Evers campaign did a lot to bring out black people to the polling places. And it probably brought out people who perhaps hadn't come out before, people who normally would have stayed at home. I think he brought out probably actually a few thousand people to vote, yes. Outside of that, I can't say a lot. You know, you could say, well, you know, bring about a lot of pride and everything, but I believe that the works of the his effort in the past and efforts of others pretty much brought us to that point now. I think it, you know, so other than the fact that I think it brought out a few extra thousand people, I can't say really had a lot to do, a lot of impact. You know, it's always good to see a you know, a black person running personally. You know, I mean, I guess in that respect, people are glad to see a man running on statewide level.
How about his advice to blacks to boycott that second primary in the governor's race and to vote for Swan in the first one as a strategy?
Now I'm going to go back and rethink that one. Let me see. Now we had Swan and the singing man from Nine and a Half Bird. You know, I'm having a problem with that one, but I think I was personally against it. I'm just trying to think of I'm just really putting it in my own mind. I don't want this to go off and not be sure of exactly what I'm saying. I believe that I was against that particular stance of his. And I'm trying to think of why, exactly why. It had to be a very intricate kind of thing. I believe he said it wasn't much different between what Swan and what Walla or something like that, wasn't it?
Swan, Walla, and Sullivan.
Sullivan, yeah, that's right. Okay, now how do we go? Wait a minute. We're talking about this, the first one. We had Swan, Walla, and Sullivan, right?
Right.
That's the first one. Okay. Now the second one, we had Sullivan and Walla.
Right. He voted the boycott on that one.
He said boycott the second one.
He said vote for Swan on the first one and boycott the second.
Oh yeah.
Vote for him in the general.
Well, his thinking is, of course, in the first one, perhaps, that by him endorsing or telling blacks to vote for Swan, of course, you know they're going to get out of the news media, that maybe it might take some of his, the white folks probably wouldn't vote for him on that basis, and that the whites were probably thinking they probably want a more viable candidate. Also, it might have brought down that Swan had gotten a white vote, as Swan being a, you know, being a man from the right, and gotten a black vote, and come out, that it would put a charge to the people, a real charge. You know, I said real charge. Hey, you're almost two extremes, you know, in a sense, to the average voter. You know, you're an extreme, you're a white, right wing, and Everest would consider moderate to left wing. The state would have a choice like it never had before.
And what's the predictable outcome of that choice in Mississippi?
Of course, Swan would have swung. Of course, and that was the chance we had to take. I didn't think we should take that chance.
How realistic was the strategy to start with?
It wasn't realistic, one damn.
But why do it?
Well, I didn't agree with it.
Oh.
I think I told you. My point was I was trying to talk to you to give me some things about exactly who was in every race, because I was having problems. I told you I disagreed, but I couldn't think why. But then I just explained to you why, in a sense. It wasn't a good strategy, you know, because there's no way, in my view, no doubt about that. You see, you know, you have to look at other intangibles and other tangible things. Let's say you did have a 30% black. And so you go out and you pull some of the liberals, moderate whites in. You think of all sort of number of that 30-something% blacks who are really who are directly influenced by whites. You know, we are, as a whole in this state, more servant people. You know, servant to consumers, as you might want to say, because we don't own anything. We don't manufacture it. You walk downtown here, you won't see one black store. You see, what I'm saying is we're controlled so much to a certain degree by people of more means. Let's mention the maids. People go work for, been working for years for Mr. Child. Mr. Child said, well, you run in and vote for, you know, and you run in and you vote for Mr. So-and-so. Due to her thinking over the years, she gonna just about go vote for Mr. So-and-so. Because she feels to a certain degree that Mr. Child just might be looking in that boot when she pulled that lever. You know, well, that sounds a little weird, but what I'm getting down to is that we've been so conditioned because of the fact that we have worked for so long in certain positions under certain people that out of that 30-some percent, I would say that the whites could control without a problem 10-15% due to these certain kinds of positions, economic ties. Okay. So again, you talk about even if Evers has been able to pull out some other votes, he's still going to lose by whopping. That's what I'm really getting at. And again, one reason why I say that perhaps in some elections, if you get to party support, that party support means a lot more than just the fact that you've gotten Democrats or Republicans to support you. But it means also that once you get that party support, that you're going to have many black people who normally going to vote along with whatever the economic ties are. These same people are going to vote along with these people. Other words, the cooks and the maids and other people who work for companies are going to vote along with the employers. So all of this, I think, is in your favor to a certain degree. If you really can get the parties, you know, either party, to come strongly behind a black candidate for office. I guess it's very much like what Theo Keyes said a long time ago in Southern politics, that almost everything happens to the South related some way to race, you know, black and white issue, and I still think it exists. You know, it's just a population is coming down. But to a certain degree, I feel that the old is pretty much right in this analogy.
And it hadn't really, that analogy hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed tremendously. I think it's been moderated some. But I still think in the final analogy, we still.
It's not as open, but it's still.
Still there. I think our style of politics is becoming more like the rest of the nation. In other words, a little more subtle, you know, due to certain acts and civil rights.
And it's changed also to the extent that blacks now have votes.
Yeah, of course. But, you know.
So we were told, for example, that when the legislature passed this Consumer Protection Act last week, that it was a generally understood underlying fact that had racial overtones from the standpoint that the white legislators, many of whom are dependent on black votes, very much perceived that this was an issue that had very strong appeal to blacks. Yet there was no clear racial thing, but there was a lot of racial motivation in the voting in a reverse sense, because they were responding to that more than to the traditional pressure from the white merchants, Retail Merchants Association, who opposed it.
Right. Well, you know, we're going back to an attitudinal thing, too, is that now, you know, for instance, I don't know what happened too much before I got out of school, to be honest with you, because I didn't have the occasion to call my state legislator or representative. But I know now when I call them, you know, I get a response. You know, for instance, if I call them, and all of them in here, Democrat, you know, mayor and everybody else, but if I call them in Jackson, you know, they call me back. They want to know what my concern is. When I'm down there, you know, I really get first class treatment. I'm saying, but again, all this boils down. Well, it boils down to the vote. But if we take the vote away,
well, if the Voting Rights Act were not extended, what do you think would happen?
Well, I think first of all, they're going to start a very sophisticated campaign changing voting places. Very small, sophisticated methods of harassment. Say that, you know, an application you left, you know, X off, or you left, or you should have, you know, just all kinds of little simple errors that normally put.
Are you talking as an example of kind of bill that I understand the Senate passed this year, and the Mississippi Senate killed in the House,
right,
to require someone to bring along a means of positive identification before they can register?
Right, a little sophisticated measures, I believe, will be instituted in order to to at least, if not bring us back, but at least take some of the edge off our, perhaps, any potential from some of our voters.
She wouldn't go all the way back.
Pardon me?
It wouldn't push
no,
all the way back.
It wouldn't push all the way back. Because I think that now that we have enough people who are aware of and who are going to be vigilant to keep it from going all the way back, but I think that you know, even with the Voting Rights Act, we only have one state representative, so it does mean that they could have an impact, you know.
Well, the basic political change in the last 10, 15 years has been the enfranchisement of a large group of blacks, about 37%. The basic social change has been the massive integration of the schools. Now, if the anti-busing amendment passed, as it has in the House, in the Congress, you think the same thing would happen in terms of school integration? A movement back?
I believe that, I'm not sure of how this anti-busing amendment is worded. I believe, understand, because
you wouldn't bus for the purposes of integration, you just open it back up again.
Right.
Go
I
to
think,
neighborhood schools.
Well, if it's as simple as you are stating it, it wouldn't take us all the way back, but it would take us part of the way back. Yes. Because it couldn't take us all the way back to a certain degree, because I still think you, in a local level, you're still going to be able to make have impact with your city councils and the rest of the many local people because of your voting strength.
To what extent are Mississippi schools integrated? Whites usually tell us Mississippi is the most integrated state in the nation.
Well, I don't know, except, you know, I only deal in the Mississippi Delta area. Of course, you know, I go all over the state, but you just don't have the occasion to really look into them that close. As you know, there's a large private school apparatus in the state. There are two private schools here in Greenville, the Country Club Private School and the Poor Private School. I call it the Poor Private School, but anyway, it's the Christian school, and the Country Club School has another name. I think it's a day school, you know. But then this day school, you have many of the kids from the rich and influential people in the community.
My real question is, to what extent are the classrooms desegregated within the integrated school?
That's another good question, because as I understand, in some schools, you end up with all white classes, two or three students, and white students may be in a class, or two or three blacks in a particular class. And then they use the system of IQ evaluation, your fast students, and normally want your fast students that they understand and interpret them from your white. So to a certain degree, it's not nearly as integrated within the school system as it appears on the surface, as I understand it. I'm having gone to these schools and really check everything out. Much of it going from hearsay information I've been getting. Our law firm, representative, of course, teachers. You know, we, as a matter of fact, we just had one in Oxford, Charles Horton, where a man by the name of Carver Round over in Enola, who's been a constant candidate for mayor outside of Enola, we went to law firm, but they wouldn't have his wife to back into the system. She left on a pregnancy, and they wouldn't have her back. And mainly was they tried to come up with some reason why they couldn't have her back. But we got inside information to the effect that it was because of Carver Round and his activities running for mayor and a bunch of other things. Of course, the federal court, district court, overruled the school board, and now she must be off the contract for the 74, 75 school year. We have other cases of principals who have been demoted. Demoted up to an administrative assistant and superintendent with nothing to do, or demoted down to the junior high school principal, or back to the classroom teacher due to immigration. As a matter of fact, I believe that the black principals and administrators, black administrators, have been tremendously depleted because of the immigration system. Integration has helped to a certain degree, according to her interpretation. And the other key problem, though, is the insensitivity, in my view, to white faculty members to the concerns and the background and more ways and forays of their black students. I understand it's becoming an ingrained level of your problem there. understand is one teacher in particular who moved the classroom down. That was in the paper not long ago. They didn't state her name, but stated the fact that she hates to be there with all of them, and that she's only there because she's trying to get her kids an education over there at the all-white private school, you know, where she's teaching the folks. So I'm sure you have many, many such instances happening across the state. And that, you know, really probably calls for a lot of black kids to drop out of school and attend nuclear frustrations. Well, I'd probably put both y'all to sleep by now.
No.
What sort of a political alignment do you see developing once the Democratic Party in Mississippi merges, the two parts of the two Democratic parties in Mississippi right. merge?
Well, that's a good question. The Democratic Party, you know, if there is a merger, I'm not even sure there's going to be a merger. You know, I thought it was going to be one for so long. Now I'm getting to the point now I'm very pessimistic about it. But of course, I think at some point maybe it will be. If minorities from the Freedom Democrat Party or the Loyalist Party, if you understand, are in fact given policy-making decisions on the various committees and et cetera, can't help but become a more moderate party in the state, much more of a moderate party, I think. As far as the Republican Party is concerned, and its bid to become a strong challenger to the Democratic Party, it's going to depend on the type of candidates they run for office. It's going to depend upon the type of leadership that we have on the state level, whether that leadership is going to be moderate in tone, or whether it's going to be reactionary in tone. Right now, I think the Republican Party on a statewide basis, I said reference to Claude Reed, I think that he's moderate in tone. And I think that the future leadership must be moderate